You're listening to Stories from General Conference on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Since the beginning, we have dwelt in families. Before coming to this earth, we dwelt in a grand sociality with each other as brothers and sisters, and with God as our Heavenly Father. Since the beginning, our Heavenly Father has given us the opportunity to draw close together, forming powerful bonds of love and devotion. One of the greatest opportunities for joy in this life is the chance to marry. As we draw closer to our spouses through love and service, we will see a pattern of a celestial family growing and progressing, an eternal family that will bring us ultimate joy in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Marriage is an opportunity for us to learn to love and serve. As we love and serve our spouses, we will be quicker to show mercy, prone to kind reactions and compassion toward others. Elder Milton R. Hunter of the First Council of the 70 spoke of this important responsibility of husbands and wives during his October 1971 General Conference address.
A husband and wife should always be gracious and kind to each other. Neither of them should say or do anything to hurt the feelings of the other. Deepest love and affection should be shown towards each other continuously. At all times, each should make a conscious effort to do everything possible to bring joy and happiness to the other. A husband should show and express appreciation for the accomplishments of his mate, and she should do likewise. We should look for ways to build each other up and make each other happy. Neither the husband nor the wife should let a day pass without expressing love for the other. We should not assume that our mate knows, and it is not necessary to express it. At one time, I had the honor of having President Joseph Fielding Smith and his beloved wife, Jessie, attend a conference to which I had been assigned. In her talk, Sister Smith said, "I never let a day go by without telling my husband that I love him, and he never lets a day go by without telling me. Under these circumstances, God's blessings will shower down from heaven upon the married couple, and especially for those married by the power of the priesthood in the house of the Lord. The power from on high will bind their love and marriage of such couples for eternity."
President Kimball was always an advocate of the importance of chastity and marriage as a source of great joy in our lives. During his October 1971 General Conference address, while serving as the acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, President Kimball spoke of the importance of eternal marriage in the lives of us all. "Though we can find great joy in our eternal marriage covenants, we must still work to make our relationships special." In the following General Conference, October 1983, Elder Robert D. Hale shared a sad account of a married couple who failed to put each other's feelings first.
30 years ago, as a branch president, I was interviewing a man and his wife. The wife was tearing down her husband. He had not been the provider she had expected. He had not been the companion she dreamed about before her marriage. They could not communicate together without arguing and attacking one another. Her husband loved her, and yet she hurt him. There were tears in his eyes as he absorbed the verbal abuse. I couldn't take any more as a 21-year-old branch president and asked, "Why do you hurt this person who loves you the most? Why do you hurt a husband who would do anything to help you?" Her answer startled me. "Oh, I guess we argue and injure those we love because we can hurt them the most."
President Hinckley, while serving as a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, shared a story illustrating one of the important aspects of a strong marriage. During his April 1972 conference address, President Hinckley showed how work and sacrifice can heal wounds within a marriage.
A local church officer called me one day. He was a lawyer, and said that one of his neighbors had come seeking his help in getting a divorce. He said that his marriage was in serious trouble. He and his wife had been living far beyond their means. They were hopelessly in debt. Money problems had led to constant bickering, and the marriage had deteriorated to a point where they could not go on together. We discussed the case, and the end result was that three of the man's priesthood quorum members were assigned to work with this brother and his wife toward a solution. One was a lawyer, one was a banker, and one was an accountant. The couple agreed to place their affairs in the hands of these, their neighbors and brethren. With the expertise that came of their professional business experience, the committee went to work. They called on the man's creditors, who, with confidence in the ability of this committee, agreed to give them time to work out his problem. These problems had been entirely beyond his ability to manage, but they were only one more challenge for his experienced brethren. Order was brought out of chaos. Peace was restored in the home. A new sense of security came into his life. His wife developed for him a respect she had never previously shown. Over a period of 2 or 3 years, his creditors all received what was due them. And the man and his wife learned principles that qualified them to manage a home as it should be managed.
The primary way that we can make our marriages sweet on this earth in preparation for the eternities is by living the gospel. During his April 1974 conference address, Elder Rex D. Pinniger spoke of faithfulness in the gospel as the foundation of a successful marriage.
Recently, I heard a father tell of the powerful influence his own testimony and example had in the life of his daughter. His lovely daughter was being pursued by an ardent admirer, one who had unfortunately turned away from the church and who, through his wrongdoings, had been cut off from the blessings of the priesthood and church membership. This girl thought she loved him and believed she might be happy with him. Her concerned parents invited the young man into their home and tried to convince him of the need to put his life in order and to follow Christ. The father bore a fervent testimony of the reality of the Savior and of the joy that comes through obedience to his gospel. However, his words were rejected by the young man. In fact, the boy scoffed at such ideas and afterward tried to convince the girl that her father was old-fashioned and a hypocrite. This accusation, the father said, was the young man's undoing. That daughter defended her father and his beliefs. She knew him. She knew the validity of his testimony. She knew her father lived as he believed. His sincere love of the gospel and his example of living its teachings, she could not doubt nor deny. Her love, she would say, for another whose testimony was like that of her father, whose life would be blessed with the joy and peace that comes from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, she is the wife of such a man, a happy mother of a lovely family born in the covenant of an eternal marriage. Oh, how blessed is the influence of a righteous father.
Though marriage has been a near universal norm within civilized societies, most have not been aware of the great promise of the gospel that marriage can be performed by the power of God. A righteous man and woman can be sealed together, not just until death separates them, but for eternity. This is one of the truly great joys of God's plan. Elder Yoshihiko Kikuchi spoke of the profound truth of eternal families during his October 1981 General Conference address.
Shortly before I coming to this conference, I received a beautiful letter from a woman who had lost her children, her husband 13 years ago. And I want to read it to you. She said, I was left alone to raise my two sons as I was attending the baptismal service of my eldest son, who is attending senior high school. I could not help but feel the beautiful atmosphere that surrounded me. I was so impressed by the sweet spirit of the saints, how observant, I humble I felt. I observed my son, dressed in white, going down into the water. The stake president's wife, who was whispering to me, told me that his sins could be washed away. I was so overwhelmed by the beauties of this moment that I felt my tears well up and my heart cried for joy. At that moment, I wanted to know about myself. What about me? What about me? It is possible that I, too, could experience a washing away of my sins. If my sins could be washed away and made clean once more, I too wanted to be baptized. After a few days of studying, praying with the missionaries, brothers and sisters, she came also to the Savior and was baptized. Shortly after, her youngest son also entered into the waters of baptism. Now Sister Masako Annan and her two boys are preparing to go to the Tokyo Temple to be sealed as a family with their deceased father for the time and all eternity. Oh, how glorious is the power of the gospel which can change the hearts of people from sorrow and despair to happiness and joy. Oh, how glorious it is to know that power of conferred upon the Joseph Smith can change the hearts of people.
In order for us to be worthy of such wonderful blessings, we must pattern our marriages here on earth after the eternal model. If we can learn to treat our spouses with kindness, patience, and love in this life, we will be able to live together in happiness and joy throughout the eternities. In his October 1984 conference address, Elder Marion D. Hanks of the First Quorum of the 70 taught this important doctrine.
In a beautiful room in the temple, I talked one day with a little boy who was dressed in white, ready to join his parents and brothers and sisters in a sacred ceremony. I said to him, "Why is your family here in the temple?" He said, "To be sealed." I said, "What does being sealed mean?" He said, "We're going to be a forever family." "Oh," I said, "you're going to be a family forever. You must have a good family, a happy family, to want to be with them forever. Do you have a happy family?" "Yes, sir," he said. This fine lad had already begun to understand two of the most important principles anyone could know: that our Heavenly Father has provided that marriage and family ties may be established permanently to endure forever, and that a marriage that we can joyfully look forward to eternally must be a good marriage, a marriage that is the heart of a happy home and family.
We hope you've enjoyed this latest episode of Stories from General Conference on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.